Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Power of Love, sponsored by the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. We believe that through the power of love, that nothing is impossible with love on your side. I am TJ Jackson, and with me I have both of my brothers, Taj and Terrell Jackson.
What's going on?
How are you doing? How are you guys doing?
Great. Good.
What's going on?
You guys are doing good?
Yep.
Yes. April 17th, Wednesday, 2019. I can't believe how fast this year is going, first of all.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We're already in the middle of April. It's just scary. It goes faster and faster and faster every single year. First of all, we are live on The Power of Love. So if you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. We are going to kick off the show with our lines open, our phone lines, that is. And if you want to call in and chime in, make sure you do so at 323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815. Or you could tweet us. And to tweet us, our handle is at DDJ Foundation. Again, that is at the letters DDJ, the word foundation. And Todd Jackson has his phone handy. He showed me the phone. He has it. He's going to be looking through our Twitter feed and making sure any important comments, tweets are read out loud. Is that correct, Taj?
Do my best.
Okay. We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you're going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us. Let's get right into it. Terrell and Taj, how are you guys doing?
Doing all right. How are you?
Good. How was your weeks?
Week was good. It was okay.
Yeah? Anything special going on?
I'm trying to look through the calendar.
I don't think we had.
Nothing crazy?
Not that I can remember, but the usual music and baseball and, I think that's it.
Yeah?
Since last, we weren't here last week.
Yeah, I was in Nashville last week. So I wasn't here.
Yeah.
I did not hear the show, but I'm sure it was well. I know we had a guest.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes, it was.
Good.
It was really good. We had tea on it.
Good. Anything else, though? Anything happened in the week?
No, I'm just had games. And
I saw that Tiger one.
I got to watch it live. Taj, I knew you were good for something.
Thank you.
Taj, you watched?
Yeah.
One of the, really?
I have a superstition of watching sports because I feel like every time I want someone to win, they usually lose, unless they're the underdog. So maybe that was the key phrase there, that he was kind of the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But yeah, it was very exciting. I watched from, I think, hole 16 on. So,
Taj, when you say you had the privilege to watch, isn't that what you said? Is that the phrase you used?
I used the word privilege? Well, I did. In terms of, because I normally don't watch sports.
Okay.
At all.
So what made you tune in?
Because I felt that history was going to be made in some way.
And okay.
Something told me to get my butt up and
could
turn
it been
on.
My tweet?
Well, no.
Okay.
Good try, though.
You can admit it.
No, it definitely wasn't your tweet. Because that was, I think your tweet was on 17 or 18.
The whole?
Yeah, it was like towards, it was right before he. It was just basically, I did see tweets, though.
Yeah.
I did see tweets of like, could he do this?
Yeah.
You know, and whatever. And I was like, could he do what? And then I started looking at it.
I was very happy for Tiger.
Yeah.
You know, and... You know, I think the vast majority of people were happy for him and were cheering on him. But, you know, there's obviously some people that probably felt, why are we cheering for this guy? You know, he's a bad guy or he did this or that. And, you know, I have a couple responses to that. My first response is, we don't know all the details. And the way the media reports things, you know, they're going to skew it one way to get clicks and to get people to tune in however they can. So we don't know the severity or really the truth behind everything that happened. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. And my second thing is, you know, people make mistakes. And people shouldn't be held to one decision, you know, that isn't a life-threatening type of decision for the rest of their life. that's if he did something, or if what is ever is being reported about him is said. But with that said, we all are proud of him because he was basically counted out. He was not every single sports writer, you know, golf aficionado. I said it with the Spanish.
You got a little Spanish in there.
You got to do my thing.
Spanish,
you know.
Station now?
But every golf expert. Every golf expert was basically saying there's no way he'll win another major.
Yeah, they were also saying he should retire.
And that he should retire. And I'm happy that he did his own thing and believed himself and you know, found that, that magic. And I actually think he's going to win another too.
Yeah, he's...
You think so, right?
Now that he has the confidence, I feel that too. I think that was the one thing needed. And he even said in an interview that once he got close and he felt he should have, you know, it got out of his grasp from past stuff. Yeah. He felt he was in the running to possibly things to work out and for him to win.
So anyway,
and he got to win for his kid.
Yes, that's what I was about to say. I love that his family was there. You know, and there's that picture of him with his father when he first won, and now him with his son.
Yeah.
So
like 21 or something, over 20 years later.
Yeah. Yeah. 2005, I think.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's great. Was it? I think it's like 97.
Maybe earlier, actually.
Yeah, I think it's something like in 97. Anyway, that was one big story. The other big story
That's what I'm here for.
The other big story is, of course, about coming from France and the cathedral, the Notre Dame Cathedral. I was left speechless when I saw it. I was just visiting. Just visited in September, I think was the last time I was there. And on a chance, it's one of those things that I remember going in the 90s, but I was like, I haven't been in a while. I should probably go see this place. And I went, and it was obviously amazing. And then to hear just yesterday, maybe 2 days ago?
Yeah, it was two. I found out.
My days are all mixed up. But
Monday.
It was Monday.
It was Monday.
So just hearing Monday about the cathedral being burning, you know, being on fire, and seeing the fire was shocking, and it was tough for the eye, even for someone like me who isn't really connected. So I can only imagine what, you know, the French and you know, the residents of Paris feel like, and what they're going through when there's such a strong landmark that is under, you know, that is being tested. So Terrell came up with the idea of...
Well, go ahead. Do you want to say anything for your week? Because it is leading into our topic. Did you have anything for you for your week?
No, not really. Just going to... important. Just being in Nashville, you're saying?
No, I don't know. I talked about my week. About yours.
We don't need to talk about
it. No, we don't need to talk about my week.
Okay, so then we're going straight into...
straight into the topic.
Straight into it. Yeah, because that leads into our topic.
And I just... you know, obviously, again, all of us send our love and you know, it has to be, and not just for in Notre Dame, but all over the world. When you have a landmark and things that are under siege or under fire, or, you know, even if it's a terrorist attack, and even if it's something that's not a hugely visited location, that's the topic. And is that right, Terrell?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. On Monday, I was just actually leaving baseball, and Bree told me that Notre Dame was burning.
Yeah. Did you think it was this?
I thought it was because we're right across the street from the high school, and I have friends, obviously.
That went to Notre Dame there. High school.
They went to Notre Dame, and their kids go there now. So when she told me it was Notre Dame, France, that was crazy. And then I immediately went online and saw the pictures, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and there's still no cause in terms of they haven't found a cause yet,
which is shocking to me.
Yes there are a lot of candles there, obviously,
and it's not something that happened overnight. It was something that happened started in the daytime, right?
I don't know.
I've heard it was an accidental thing and there was renovations going on, so that's probably the cause. But I would just feel like there was, I don't understand how it got to this level, but at the same time, you know, I don't think now's the time to question and all that stuff. So at this point, I think it's just about sending love and hopefully everything is going well on the mend in Paris. There's so much amazing things in France, and the Notre Dame Cathedral is definitely one of them. And it's pretty cool to see, you know, people already stand up to try to rebuild it.
Right.
And the president of France made comments about how it will be rebuilt. And I think that's very important for the psyche of,
yes,
again, not only the French, but everyone who holds a special place, to immediately come back and say, we're going to rebuild it even in a better, stronger way. And that mentality is huge in life in general. You know, when things don't go your way, you have to kind of find a way to improve on it and make things even better than it was. But again, our topic is going to be based on landmarks, homes, favorite toy stores.
Things you have attachments to.
Places you have attachments to. We want to know if there is any that you went through as our listeners that you had an attachment to, that whether it was burnt down, whether it changed locations, or whether it was went out of business, that actually held some type of meaning in your life. And did it really put you into a negative space, as well as how you kind of got through it? Mm-hmm. Right? So that's our topic. So feel free to call in, chime in, text, not text, because we don't have text, but tweet. Anything like that. That's what we want to talk about. Terrell, I'm going to start with you.
Well, I was fortunate to go visit in September, mm-hmm. and I was with my family as well. And we have photos. And it's just, it was one of those places you had to see it to believe it.
Yeah.
You know, you just didn't.
It was beautiful.
Some things are so amazing. You just don't feel that people created that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was definitely one of those places. And, When I saw it on the internet that it was burning, I was speechless, you know, obviously. But
I mean,
it's sad. You go back and you look through photos, you know, and fortunately I have my kids have pictures with that. And but like you said, we're over here, and there's many people over there that go to Notre Dame every week, you know. And it hits home a lot closer to home for them than, you know.
And to know was built 1163 to 1345, completed in 1345. Wow. So let's do the math. That's over 800 years old.
Yeah.
And to know that history can go, you know, good thing it wasn't completely burnt down, mm-hmm. but a lot of it was, or
yeah.
from what we know, to know that things can quickly be taken away is a very fragile mentality, but it's a real one. Do you remember, Terrell, like a location that you felt like went away or anything like that, that from your childhood that was special to you?
Oh, I have many.
Like, what's your top one?
Top three.
Three?
Yeah, because I have three.
You have three locations?
I don't know if I have a top three.
You know?
Okay, well, now I want to hear his three. What,
Taj, we're going to be similar, and he's going to take some, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to do it first.
No, go ahead.
This guy's going to say I did take his.
Go ahead.
He can give us one special one. Give me a place, Taj, to you that held so much meaning in life, whether it's childhood, even in adulthood, that held meaning that either was burnt down, that changed location.
You had to move on from.
That you had to actually move on from it, or when you realized it, it hurt it.
It didn't burn down, but, you know, Pettit was the first place. That was our old house. That's where we grew up.
You're saying the move.
Not even the loss of the place. Like, literally, physically not having that anymore, or the access to it. Moving on from it. Pettit was our old house.
Mm-hmm.
For everyone that's listening, it was the place that we grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
That I equated my childhood with. Because I was a lot older than you. So you probably equate half and half.
Yeah.
For me and Terrell, we Pettit is kind of where we grew up in that way. And I think that was my first realization when we moved, that things weren't the same. Even before mom and dad, because it was because of mom and dad's divorce.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that affected me just equally, because it was like a symbol that things are okay. And when you move from one, in terms of,
when they got divorced, us staying at Pettit for a couple years later, is that what you're saying?
No, we moved.
Right after.
Yeah, we moved right after.
So what do you mean it was a symbol that everything was okay?
Pettit was a symbol that, like, in life, that everything was okay.
Okay.
Once we moved, it's almost like forcing you to go to...
Do you remember Pettit much or not really?
I do.
It forced me to realize things aren't okay. We're in a different house.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a different location. And it wasn't even like, oh, this Pettit's this. And
it was just a bigger change than what you thought it was going
to be. Yeah, because it's like we had our high school graduations there. We had our birthday parties there. So it was just different.
Team parties.
It was different. Yeah. So that was... That was it symbolized a lot. We had team parties there.
Exactly. I wonder because you both have lived here in Southern California your whole life, never really considered going to a school outside of California.
Nope.
Where I was different. Yeah. I lived in Texas.
Yeah.
I think about other states all the time to live in.
Nope.
I wanted to go to a university outside of the state.
Yeah.
I wonder if that has something to do with it.
It might.
Because you guys have that type
nostalgia.
Well, you've also lost things.
I've lost things, but like I'm saying, you guys maybe have that appreciation. Too strong of a word. More of an attachment to things because of things like Pettit.
Yeah.
And Pettit was a magical, beautiful place and time period for us. But for me, I was young when we moved here, so it wasn't as such a strong attachment for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if that's why you guys can't leave the area. Is it a weakness? What?
No, it's not because I often think about moving, to be honest.
I'm just
but there is an attachment to some of these things because it's a common thing.
Yeah.
You know, you can find it online. There is such a thing as grieving structures, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it carries memories and you have an attachment and it's difficult to let go because when you revisit them, it triggers all these memories. And it is difficult. It's sad. It's
houses it's really are like sad. That for me, I think. But
houses are like that too.
Were until mom passed. Then they became.
Yes, and that's the thing.
And that was the thing. And
wait, you're saying once mom passed, things stopped losing value? Yes. Locations stopped?
Yeah.
Yes.
Delgado
When you experience loss.
Yeah. Because Delgado attached to mom too. And when I'll never forget when we drove by there and I saw someone else living there. It felt like I was like a violation.
Someone's in your place.
Yeah, like someone's in my,
like you're not supposed to be
time,
there.
Time does, things do move on.
Move on, yes.
Yeah, because there's no way I can go to this house anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't open the gate and go to this house anymore. I can't go to my room anymore.
You moved on. It's not your space anymore.
Now, when you say it bothered you, how long did it bother? Because I had a similar feeling when I think I saw people there. And maybe it was in the car. But literally, 2 minutes later, I'm over it.
See, I think for me, because I knew how much mom was putting into that house. Mm-hmm. That's what bothered me more than anything, was that I knew mom was paying the bills of it. She was proud of that place.
I see.
You know, and now seeing someone else live there kind of made it seem
triggered
like...
Triggered all that.
Yeah, all that work she had been doing, you know, years of paying the bills for, you know, on time. It's like, didn't mean anything.
So would you make the statement, and Terrell, you chime in, that placement attachment, I think is what it's called. The severity of placement attachment is linked to some type of human connection or human memory that you have. Like if you didn't, because I don't have that same type of placement attachment as you, but I also don't have those memories that you have of mom's connection to that place.
Yeah. Or if it symbolizes something, like if it symbolizes something, I think it's the same thing in a way, like Notre Dame, you know, or Notre Dame if you're American, it symbolizes something to a lot of people, you know, and I think that's the thing too. Certain places symbolize, and so when the structure is no longer there or if it's damaged, it means something in that way too. Churches do, you know, there's been some arsons in black churches that have been burned down. That means something to a lot of people in that way. And it symbolizes something. And so I think there's two, I think it's whether it's your memories in that place, you know, you grew up there, or it's something that symbolizes something and it's been burnt, moved, Toys R Us.
Yeah. Okay.
Closed down. I know it's not the equivalent.
No, it isn't the equivalent, but it's cool that you mention it.
Yeah.
In a way.
Mentioned
Toys R Us.
Oh.
No.
Just so everyone knows, the listeners know, you're talking about the Toys R Us that was on Topanga Street.
I'm talking about both Toys R Us.
Okay.
Toys R Us, the company.
Yes. Toys R Us is a very special place for Taj. Yeah. Taj still remembers the Toys R Us number.
Do you really?
He probably has about 12 phone numbers memorized. And that's
probably not
going to
do 3, 4, 6, 9, 7, 5, 1.
He just knows it.
And 7, 8, 8, 5, 1, 1, 5.
So those are phone numbers.
The 788-5115 is the Van Nuys Toys R Us, Sherman Oaks one, and then the 346-9751 is the Woodland Hills Toys. I used to call Toys R Us all the time for Transformer toys, like to see if they had them in stock, and then video games as well. And I would do different voices so that person didn't know it was me calling all the time.
You would, Taj.
Why else do I know those numbers still? Like, okay. I don't know people's, my friends' numbers, but I know those numbers. Those useless
And miles. Those numbers have been probably inactive for over 10 years.
No, those were active until Toys R Us closed.
Oh, okay, just a couple
years ago. Trust me, I tried. When Toys R Us was still open, those numbers were working.
Okay, so explain
That's
to me.
That's a different kind of level, but
explain to me, again, Taj, Toys R Us, if I drive by a Toys R Us or even the one I used to frequent, and it's no longer there. It's sad, but it's not like
you don't remember going.
As long as Target next door has the same.
But you don't see, but you, Uncle see, Michael. Not, you don't.
You're
mind.
Looking at the present.
Yeah,
and I think that's the difference. You're looking at it, and you're looking at it as the present. Like, okay, I wanted to buy a Nerf gun or something, and I can't get it here anymore. But oh well, it's sad. It's not here, so let me go down the street to Target. We're looking at it as, oh, I remember the time where we went with Uncle Michael and we did this and we did that. Like, it was right. I remember I was leaving my doctor's appointment and I was walking. I think I even posted it. There's a building being built where Tower Records used to be. Mm-hmm. And that, like, it didn't bother me, but it just triggered how much times have changed. And I remember a time where I used to go to the record store and I used to listen to music, and it was just a whole different lifestyle. And that was another place we'd go with Uncle Michael.
I was going to say, yeah.
And then right next door is the Toys R Us, and that's no longer there. So it's just time and changing and past memories and letting go of that. But it's not, I don't think it's so much the structure that you're upset that you lose. It's the memories that's the attachment, the memories that took place at that actual location.
I think, first of all, everyone knows I don't have the best memory, so I don't probably struggle from that same. I mean, I do have some memories with Uncle Michael at that Toys R Us. Great memories, of course. But for me, it's like a memory is in my head. I don't need the physical to see it physically in the outer world for it to have the same meaning. The memory's in my head. So whatever happens outside in the real world, it's not going to affect my memory.
I think, well,
as long if I can keep a picture, that's just as fine.
Right. That just works as well. I think it's
a generational thing. That's not good enough.
It's knowing that it's there is one thing. Like, okay, fine, it was there. But when it's closed and it's moved on and it's a completely different structure and it used to be this or it used to be that, it's so different.
And that bothers
me. Like growing up, you remember Farrell's Ice Cream Parlor? Yeah. That's like one of my favorite places to celebrate our birthdays. So it's like growing up, that's where we would have our birthdays and team parties and whatever. And now it's like, and it's funny because I live close to that street, but now it's a Burger King.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's not like it makes me sad or anything. It's just, I guess it's looking back at your past and you realize how long ago it was and how things changed.
I don't know. I think that.
But maybe it's a memory thing for you. Maybe you don't have an attachment to memory.
I think it's partially that. I'm not going to say it's just that. But I also think it's because you guys struggle with this more because you guys are lifers in this area.
Yeah.
Like if you went Encino away.
Literally, like when you visit Encino, does it not bring back memories of you playing?
Oh, it does. It does.
Okay.
So how would you feel one day if you drove by it and it was just an apartment
complex? I'd feel sad, but I'd feel sad for more for the kids that don't get to play there now, not because of my memory.
That's strange because those kids that don't get to play there now, they have get to no play idea. At the next place down the street.
Why I don't have that much of a sadness for it to happen. As long as those kids can play across the street or down at the other park, I don't have that much attachment for it. So that's what I'm saying. For me,
nostalgia.
I get nostalgia, but for me, it's more in my head and videos and pictures. That's sad to me. Like if we lost the video memories of in the fire, where it's actually a tangible memory, that I get. But just driving by a location, it doesn't really do much for me. You know.
Interesting.
So
we have. Do we have?
We have a phone call. So let's take the phone call first, then we'll go to Twitter.
Okay.
Who is on the line with Taj Sherrill TJ this afternoon?
It's another T. My name is Tiffany, and I'm from Texas. How are y'all?
What's going on, Tiffany?
Hi, Tiffany.
Hey, Tiffany.
Hi.
I like that. It's another T.
Nothing much. What'd you say?
I said I like that. It's another T. What do you got for us, Tiffany?
Okay, I want to talk about the both of the topics as far as missing the Toys R Us, because I have a memory kind of tied to your uncle with Toys R Us, and losing my home.
Okay.
The Toys R Us one is really, really short. When was that? It was like around Christmas of 1999, so I was 13. And my mother and I were in there buying toys and stuff. And she had already gotten me a Michael Jackson doll for the Christmas the year before. And they had Elizabeth Taylor dolls. And I looked at my mom and I said, Mom, it was so expensive. I looked at the doll. I said, Mom, I want this doll. I said, I want Elizabeth Taylor because she's Michael Jackson's friend. My mother said, no. So I threw kind of a teenage version of a temper tantrum and, you know, stomped away. But Christmas morning when I opened the box, there was another Michael Jackson doll and there was Liz Taylor.
Wow.
I love that.
Wow. That's funny. That's funny. I didn't know they even made that. That's cool.
I was so mad at her. She said she went back at like almost midnight, went and got the doll and went and hid it at my uncle's house until Christmas.
That's cool.
That is very cool.
That's cool.
And I the way you're smiling makes me happy too, because I know it's a good memory.
Do you still have those
dolls?
That's
when you can tell I'm smiling.
That's the question. Do you still have those dolls?
I have the Michael Jackson ones. I lost Liz when I lost my house.
Okay.
That makes...
But I mean, I broke my, but I have all, how many dolls do I have? I'm looking around now. I have four Michael Jackson dolls and one statue.
Okay.
That's behind me right now.
And what about the house scenario?
It's a lost cause. It really is. It just, I mean, that's just kind of like, I know it's one thing when you had to move from your house, but like technically the structure is still standing. If you wanted to go, I guess, knock on the door and say, hey, can I, you know, I used to live here. Can I see my old room, my mom's old room, that sort of thing. I'm sure the people would let you do it. My house is to the point where if you open the door, you're, life is in danger, basically.
And for people that don't know, because we know the scenario, but for people that don't know, can you explain it to them? What happened to you?
Yes, I lost my home in Hurricane Harvey in 2017. And I was in the house and actually slept through. It was just like the rain stayed over my house for 5 days. Like it was nonstop. I've never seen rain like that. It's almost, I guess you could say it was like biblical proportions when the rain came down and Noah was in the ark or something like that. That's what I equated to. But I went to sleep one night and it was just leaking all over. It was leaking all over. I didn't even have enough pots to get, you know, to catch all of the water that was leaking. So I get up the next morning, open the door to my mom's room. It didn't fall in my room, but I opened the door to my mom's room and there was just sheetrock all over the floor in her room. And, you know, as I'm going through the house, I don't know how my room in particular didn't really get much except for like just a little bit of leaking. But I mean, all around the house, it was just standing water. I had water up to my ankle.
Yeah.
And my house is built up off the ground. So for me to be standing in ankle water with my house off the ground, yeah, the water is really, really high.
Yeah.
I mean, I lost everything. I mean, my aunt and my uncle took me in, but basically everything that I could take went into one of those like big plastic storage bins, and like everything else is left. Like, I know exactly where my photo albums with my baby pictures are. I know where, you know, pictures of my parents are, pictures they took before they got married. Just so much stuff. All my pageant crowns and trophies are, I know where they are. It's just that I cannot go in to get them because the rooms that I would have to pass through, my weight alone would probably make the floor cave in just from the water having stood so long.
Wow. That must be, yeah.
And it just bothers me because I spent, what, like 23 years? I grew up in that house. It was a house where I found your uncle's music. I found your music. I decided I want to write. I mean, just basically every milestone I could hit in life, you know, occurred within those four walls.
Yeah. I think you said milestone is an interesting word because that's kind of one of the things I equate with houses is milestones in that way. Like I said, graduation, you know, or birthday parties.
Yeah, special memories
elevate
the value of places, I think. So,
right.
All right. Well, thank you so much for chiming in and calling in, Tiffany. Really appreciate
thank you
for sharing
taking my call.
Your story.
Yeah.
Okay, and have a great rest of your week.
You too. Thank you very much.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
So we have place attachment. Place attachment is the emotional bond between person and place and is a main concept in environmental psychology. It is highly influenced by an individual and his or her personal experiences. There is a considerable amount of research dedicated to finding what makes a place meaningful enough for place attachment to occur. So I think, in my opinion, I think you have to have a place. Could be a Toys R Us, mm-hmm. could be a baseball field, could be your home. If there's powerful, impactful meaning, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. for your memories, I think that's when place attachment more often occurs.
Will occur.
And Dan, right? You want to do your Twitter now?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll take, there's two, but I'll do the first one. Yeah. It's Marlene. Marlene says, when my grandma sold her holiday home, where I spent most of my child vacation, it was difficult and I felt like I was losing my memories of my late grandma. Mm. I kept a few things from there, including a mirror in my current home. So, yeah.
That's a great tweet. So yeah. Thank you, Marlene, for that. And I get that. You know, it's I'm trying to articulate it, but I feel like that makes sense to me. When it's a place of a loved one and it brings back happy memories all the time. You know, like for us, it's like the ranch. I think I can feel that way.
Yeah.
I think I can feel that with the ranch. I don't think I feel that with Toys R Us.
Well, no, not on Toys R Us. You're not going to feel it. But I think when you see that Toys R Us is closed down, it's over. It's done. There's no memories. You can't go back in it because it's an apartment complex now or something. Mm-hmm. But that's what I was going to bring up. Neverland. And I have two parts to it.
Yeah.
That was the most amazing place.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of memories there. And obviously we have memories with Uncle Michael. But it's the little things like the yogurt there. Mm. at the movie theater. Yeah. And then I was just recently thinking about the oatmeal cookies that the Batman, what was the Alfred? Remember Alfred, the butler would have, well, the statue guy, but there'd be these oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. So it's like those crazy little things that you remember. But, I go to my kid's school fair and it's like, they have the zipper there from Neverland.
Yeah.
So it's a weird, I don't know. It brings back happy memories, but it brings back sad memories because they had the zipper there and they had the spider right there.
Oh.
And it's like from Neverland, you know, but it's like called Mike's Zipper or something because they can't use his name.
Oh, you're saying the one at the carnival?
The actual rides at the carnival were taken from Neverland.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I see the zipper and it's like I look at it. No way would I get on it, but I look at it and it triggers memories.
Why is it the one from Neverland? They don't have more than one zipper?
No, but that's part of the attraction. It's like getting the zipper from Neverland.
Yeah.
Really?
You can't fathom that?
I could fathom that, but it seems like the zipper should be have more zippers than the one from...
Yeah, but they use the name and...
You know, I get it, but I'm just tired of that, to be honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I think...
I'm tired of it because that's the problem.
Yeah. That's what happened.
Okay.
But do you remember... You probably don't remember, but do you remember the Magic Store on Ventura Boulevard across from the baseball field?
Mm-hmm.
Or the baseball card shop?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Like, with the bank snaps.
I remember that.
Like, stuff like that. It doesn't make me sad where I'm, like, miserable, but it's just driving by those places. I think it triggers memories. And I'm not saying that you can't move on from them. It just makes you, it just brings back memories that are no longer,
I'm not 100%. I have those same memories and they're great memories and I can smile and reminisce and enjoy those memories. But for me, the place or driving by the place does not spark it. It's more recollection or talking about, remember this time when we did this and remember where that place was. For me. So it's just different, but it's really interesting. And leading on to that, it says place attachment is multidimensional and cannot be explained simply through a cause and effect relationship. Instead, it depends on a reciprocal relationship between behavior and experiences. Due to numerous varying opinions on the definition and components of place attachment, organizational models have been scarce until recent years.
I wanted to bring my part two.
Yes, let's hear your part two.
My part two was the statue in Holland at Best.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's been there, I think, for over 20 years.
23 years.
23 years.
My sources say 23
years. Okay, 23 years.
Yes.
And I know it was a... We were fortunate enough to see it. And it's something I wanted my children to see. But unfortunately, because of all the garbage and nonsense, it's been removed. And that was a place I know that when Uncle Michael passed, that fans would gather on his birthday, I think, and even on the day he passed.
Just stop for a second, because that goes into my tweet. We might as well let Suzanne say what.
Let's hear
Go ahead, Tosh.
She says, I hope this doesn't sound weird, but when the Michael statue was removed from McDonald's in Best, Netherlands, it was hurtful to a lot of fans. There was no notice. It was just gone one morning.
Mm.
Since 2009, the statue became a place for us fans as fans to remember MJ and get together in tough times. And now we don't have that anymore.
Mm.
It was a hurt, but I also realized that it was a memory and the feelings and not about the statue itself. We can get together anywhere and celebrate and or remember him. We don't need a specific place to do that. Take care, guys.
So saying that, I think that was Suzanne, right?
Yeah.
If Suzanne were to drive by that McDonald's, I would think that there would be, it would trigger a lot of memories.
Especially if there's an empty space there.
Yeah. You can't understand that?
I can, but I think it's, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like for me, if I put myself in that position, for me, it's more the lack of, it's A, the memory, but it's the lack of the next place. Like if it was across the street at a Michael.
Then it wouldn't be the same.
On top of a mountain. And that was the place we were now going to. Whenever I drove by that McDonald's, I say nothing would be there for me.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that there's no void, in my opinion, which is, I could be wrong. But that's the way for me, I think I work. Because
there's nothing there. But if it was replaced with a...
If that statue was put, like I said, on the mountain at the next exit on the top,
I'd drive
right by that McDonald's with no...
Fine. But we're saying if the statue's no longer there, period. And you go there, now all of a sudden you see...
I get that. See, but for me, going back to Toys R Us, Target's there. So I can get
Target
the same...
Target is Toys R Us.
Okay, it's not Toys R Us, but you get my point. I mean, when I was a kid... Okay, if I was a kid, it wouldn't make sense. But as an adult, Target satisfies all my toy needs.
It does. Right. No, but we're not saying the toy needs, like, oh, Toys R Us is no longer here. It's more the things that happen there.
Yeah, I get it. For me, it's more the purpose of the place than...
So you're looking... I think you're looking on the...
Don't get me wrong. I still have memories strong memories, but it's not like one of those where it's like, oh, I... You know, like I said, if it got moved to another important location at the in Holland where it's they celebrate all artists or whatever. I don't know Holland well enough to know. But if it got moved to another, even a better place, I don't think I'd have any connection to it being at Best. Now, if I had memories of taking my first child there and they loved to go there and there was a waterfall there that was particular to that location that was special and that was part of the whole experience, then I can get it. But just the act of the, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if it got moved somewhere else, that's just me. Maybe that's just, again, me being able to change.
But that's understanding that it still exists and it just moved locations.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's because yours truly, April says, they just recently tore down my old kindergarten building. And every time I pass by it now, I feel like I've lost a part of my life. Even though I have memories, it just doesn't feel the same.
And I appreciate that comment because that's more in conjunction with how you guys feel. And I love hearing more people say that. But now we'll take April's scenario. Mm-hmm. In time, will that go away?
No, because I think
there's a connection with the memories.
It's not the building. Yeah. It's the memories that were held there. And the location and the place.
I think the building reinforces your memories. It makes your memories more real.
Okay, but here's my issue. We have a place. Let's take April's example. It's very simple, very clean. Her kindergarten is no longer there. I assume her kindergarten memories are good ones.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the kindergarten is not there, it brings her sadness. Right? Am I missing something?
She doesn't feel the same.
It doesn't feel the same.
Yeah, she lost part of her life. Like her child, I guess, that's what she's saying.
And you feel a similar thing with certain things as well.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
Right? So my question is, at what point, though, do you, as a person, just have those memories in your head and keep that value there so that it doesn't interfere with how you feel in the present time.
Oh, I see what you're saying. For me, it's hard because I feel like memories fade. That's the problem. And maybe because, well, we all grew up in an era where it's, you know, iPhones weren't accessible like they are today, where you can film everything or videotape everything. We had to rely on old videotapes and pictures. And so the memories aren't as accessible.
And one thing I will definitely add, not only that, though, Taj, I feel like as kids, as generations go, I'm going to be careful with this word, but the respect for memories and the respect to hold on to things is waning.
Yeah.
It's like, for instance, in my case, Royal could care less about saving anything. Mm. I know he's 19, so he's probably not even thinking that way anyway. But compared to what I feel in our generation, what 19-year-olds were doing, we'd save some things. I think in today's world, whether it's because of social media or because of technology, they feel that that's escaping them. And I feel like I really honestly feel like storage units is the worst industry to get into because I don't think people are saving everything anymore. And they're not saving things. They're just getting rid of it on OfferUp and all these other new apps and keeping it moving. And it's interesting to see what kind of play that will do psychologically for the benefit or for the negative for the next generations.
Did you have any nostalgia value to your car in terms of saving your old car?
Oh,
because you saved that for longer than I did.
I did. But it was more one of those things where it was like, this is my first car and I wanted to save it. But again, that was like my first...
T-Dog.
Yeah, that was my first car. It was a car I bought with all my money from my first Sony check. Yeah. So
it
wasn't necessarily nostalgia. It's more like
pride
and like my something, you know.
Yeah. Like, do you drive by the Delgado house ever and see the spa?
Yeah, the spa. Oh, don't tell me.
Do you remember that?
That actually, when I said it made me mad, that was what made me mad. I just didn't want to say that. But why don't we tell the story of the spa? Because the spa, basically, the spa represents our free willy money. I don't know if you know.
Do you remember that?
We took our free willy money.
Wait, let me say something real quick. Yeah. When you guys say it, I remember. It jars it. Okay. But before you said that, I wouldn't have thought that.
I think that.
So go ahead. You can explain it now.
So for our free willy money, we wanted, because the Delgado house didn't have a pool. And we were used to a pool. I know that. It sounds what it sounds like. But then we were like, let's get a spa. And so we took the money that we made from.
In this boat?
You probably were agreeing. You agree with everything we said.
Okay.
And so. Trust me, we needed one third of your
You probably got outvoted.
We built the spa with that free willy money. That was when I saw when you can see the spa from the gate.
Yes,
that was the top of it. So when I say that I drove by and I saw that someone else was living there, that's what bothered me most.
I see.
Was that because I remember the pride of buying that spa, of installing that spa, and what that smell smelt like. Still, you know, and it's so like being there.
See, some of that is because you don't have the memory that we have. And then also, I think because you lost a lot of your personal belongings.
Yeah.
And I think once something like that happens, you lose attachment.
You're forced to let go.
For me, it's like mom and losing Uncle Michael, like you can't, who cares what you lose?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then again, when I got robbed, like that changed everything. Like, I do keep things, but like, you want to take this? Fine. I lost this. So what does that matter to me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So once you have something like that,
maybe,
I think it shifts your whole mentality of things.
I think that's a very strong point. And that's probably helps articulate why I'm a little different. Because I did lose a lot of the childhood stuff that you guys probably still were able to hold on to. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you guys still valued things.
Yeah,
like
you're talking like we had Tiffany call about the Michael Jackson doll.
Yeah.
Like I had those too, but I saw them in the auction. Like they're gone.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have it anymore.
Yeah. So, that's good points. And then, Taj, I mean, we do have to end the show soon, but I want to ask you a question.
Of course.
When you say you drive by Delgado upsets you because you see the spa, that one of the reasons is you see the spa that we technically purchased, right?
Mm-hmm. It doesn't... Wait, hold on. I have to stop. It doesn't upset you to the point where you're, like, crying and all.
It's just a little dig.
Yeah, it's a little dig.
Here's my question, and we could be completely honest, because when Mom passed, our life... mentally was over. It wasn't something we weren't really thinking about, homes and stuff. You fast forward 3 months and we lost that home because it was on no one's radar.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So because of the way it was lost without selling it and doing it the proper way, I think for you as the eldest, it probably annoys more than me, even though I'm pretty, you know, into my stuff like that. And it annoys me. But I'm wondering if we sold the home and you got a replacement something, whether it was your equity from that home or whatever it was, would you still have that annoyance if you drove by it and saw someone in that house?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't have sold it. Like, because I think that's the thing.
Let's just say you had to sell it.
Well, the problem I have is that the spa was mobile. I think that's the difference. If the spa wasn't mobile, and I knew that.
Just for the record, I wasn't as attached to the spa.
If the spa can be moved, then I would have been, it would have been like, oh, well, it's a permanent attachment. Of course, it goes without.
Was it really mobile?
It was mobile. It was mobile. So the point is, like, they took the house, so it's like, that wasn't part, like, I feel like that wasn't part of the deal. Like, it shouldn't have been part of the deal. That's not part of the house.
Yeah,
that's our spot.
I think the moral of the story too is for anyone who is dealing with the loss.
Don't let.
I think that's important because I think we made the mistake. I can say I know. I mean, I was 16, just turning 16, so it wasn't on my radar.
Yeah,
and I think that's an important thing. If you lose a loved one, I think someone, whether it's yourself or a strong family member, has to be on the focus of making sure those kind of things are tied in to avoid this situation.
And you have to let them know what is important to you and what isn't. Because maybe to certain people, they're thinking, oh, you know, it's a house, you know, it could be replaced. But there's a lot of memories in that house. True. And I think we never even said how much we wanted to fight for.
I think that's how, because we didn't spend another night at Delgado the day mom passed. We were gone. And I think that's a very good point, because I think maybe our family felt that it's just the house.
It's too many memories.
Get out of here. We'll get everything back. We'll recreate everything. But for us, there really was memories. Yeah. And if we could have, we'd love to have kept the house. I don't necessarily think I'd want to stay in that house. Mm-hmm. But to have the house, whether you rent it out for 5 years, 10 years, and then reconvene and see what you want to do. Because now I think I would not want to live there, but to own that house and be able to walk through it and clean it and keep it up and keep it in the family, I think would be cool.
It would have been great.
Yeah. You know, so I think that's a very good point. Anything else? This was pretty cool. This was a fun show.
I'm going through that a little bit right now because I've been in my house now for over 20 years.
Yeah.
And part of me wants to stay there and keep it and all that. And another part of me wants to move on and start something fresh and be different. I definitely want to do that either way, but I do. It's the home my kids grew up in.
Mm-hmm. Have you asked them?
And
that's probably
Bryce actually said something.
But that's probably part of the point is now that you kind of know
it's almost like a stay too long.
It's one of those things where you should maybe have that conversation.
Yeah,
you know, because and you know, I don't know, but I think it's interesting.
But it's just a bunch of memories and a bunch of life.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is. It's just when we have memories and we lose something or someone, and it's a reminder that life goes on, and we just got to move on with it.
So we didn't talk too much about it, but again, I mean, we started the show with it. But again, our prayers and love is sent to everyone in France who's dealing with the Notre Dame, and you know, everyone who that place had a special memory, and we are hoping and optimistic that it will be bigger and better and stronger and than ever.
Yes.
So I'm sending much love there. We're going to close the show. Taj, was there anything else you wanted to add? Or are you good?
No.
Okay, cool. Didn't think so, but just thought it.
Not in a minute.
All right, everyone. We are going to close out the show. Again, it's us, Taj, Terrell, and TJ, signing off on this April 17th, 2019. Sending love. Hopefully, you'll have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, adios.
Adios.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.